Today is Wednesday, June 30th. What to know about a warning sent to condo residents in Florida just a couple months before their building collapsed. Also, as if the brutal heat wasn't bad enough on its own, the western U.S. is now dealing with blackouts and wildfires. Plus, a new tool that could help crack down on robocalls, a lower-cost way for diabetes patients to get their insulin, and a historic first for the Miss USA pageant. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. It's now been almost a week since a Florida condo building collapsed, and still, search and rescue crews are working all day and night searching for life under the rubble. But unfortunately, it's now been 6 days since anyone was pulled out alive. The death toll is now up to 12, and 149 people are still missing. Meanwhile, a team of scientists and engineers are investigating exactly what caused about half of the complex to come crashing down. They're looking at the debris and the ground around it, as well as the building's history. For some people, though, the tragedy didn't come as a surprise. That's because just weeks before the building crumbled, the condo board president wrote a letter to residents warning them about damage at the complex. Remember, we told you an inspection back in 2018 found major structural damage in the building. Well, the more recent letter said since that inspection, things had only gotten worse. It said a lot of work could have been done years ago, but some condo owners were reluctant to pay for it since the repairs were expected to cost about $16 million overall. Payments on those repairs were set to begin this week. It's still not clear, though, if those were the same issues that caused the collapse. It could take months before investigators know for sure. By the way, President Biden is planning to visit the site of the disaster tomorrow. He'll meet with first responders and families who are still anxiously waiting for news about their missing loved ones. It seems the historic heat wave in the Pacific Northwest is pushing the electric system to its breaking point. Now, power companies are having to force some rolling blackouts. One of those companies is Avista Corp. It serves people in Washington, Idaho, and Oregon. And for the first time in company history, it had to warn tens of thousands of customers they might lose power. But it's trying to limit those forced outages to just about an hour at a time. The idea is, by giving the system a break, it might prevent long-lasting damages that could cause much longer outages. Still, it's rough to have any time without AC during this brutal heat. Sadly, officials say a dozen deaths in Washington and Oregon may be tied to this heat wave, and it's not quite over yet. The city of Spokane, Washington was the latest to hit an all-time record when it reached 109 degrees yesterday. Seattle and Portland are finally getting a bit of a break from the triple digits, though. They're expected to see temperatures back in the 80s today. During this extremely hot and dry week, wildfires are becoming very common. The peak wildfire season for the western U.S. doesn't typically start until late July. But already this year, firefighters have had to deal with more than 30,000 fires. And this week alone, nearly 50 large fires have burned more than 1,000 square miles across 12 states. One of the worst ones burning now is the so-called lava fire. It's growing in Northern California, just west of Mount Shasta. Officials say lightning sparked it late last week. Since then, it's only grown, fueled by windy, hot, dry weather. Hundreds of firefighters are working 24-hour shifts to battle it from both the air and the ground. FEMA is helping cover the costs, and the Red Cross is setting up shelters for the thousands of people who have been evacuated. President Biden is meeting governors of western states today to talk about how to address wildfire threats before the real season starts next month. There are new fears about what's going to happen in Afghanistan once the American troops are out of there in a few weeks. The longest-serving U.S. commander of the Afghanistan mission gave a rare news conference this week, saying Afghanistan could be on a path to a chaotic civil war. That's because in recent weeks, nearly a quarter of Afghanistan's districts have fallen to the Taliban. In some cases, the Afghan forces have surrendered without a fight, handing over the supplies given to them by U.S. forces to the militant group. Now, Afghan security officials are working to take back the districts, while the U.S. is still working on its exit strategy. By the end of next month, the U.S. plans to have only one military unit in Afghanistan. It will be assigned to secure the American embassy in Kabul. The U.S. is also in talks with Turkey about securing the airport there. And that's key for embassy workers and diplomats, as well as aid groups. To be continued. From Asia to Africa to Australia, countries are scrambling to contain the highly infectious Delta variant of COVID-19. So they're bringing back new restrictions and lockdowns. About 10 million Australians who live in cities like Sydney, Brisbane, and Perth are now under a strict two-week lockdown. Basically, everyone has to stay home unless it's for an essential reason. South Africa also entered a lockdown that's expected to last at least 2 weeks. Bangladesh halted all public transportation, and Malaysia extended a nationwide shutdown. The World Health Organization says Delta is on track to be the most common variant around the globe. But studies have shown the vaccines on the market are still largely effective against it. More news is coming up, but first, a quick break for our sponsor. Here's your main host, Erica Mandy, to talk about BetterHelp.
If there's anything stopping you from being and feeling like your best self, then why not give BetterHelp a try? You can talk to someone when and how you want, on your own time, at your own pace, and you choose whether you talk through text, chat, phone, or video. Of course, everything you share is confidential. There are counselors for everything you may need, including anxiety, family conflicts, grief, stress, and more. BetterHelp will assess your needs and then match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 24 hours, all without any offices or waiting rooms. And it's easy and free to change counselors anytime to make sure you get the right fit for you. If you've ever thought of giving this a try, now is the time, because the Newsworthy listeners get 10% off your first month just by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. I want you to start living a happier life today. So get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Again, that's betterhelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy.
You might start noticing fewer of those annoying robocalls. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, gave major phone providers until today to start using new technology meant to block spam calls. Simply put, the tech makes sure a call coming into your phone is legitimate by having phone carriers verify the caller ID. The idea is this system will make it harder for scammers to disguise their identity. Major phone companies like Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are required to use this system, and many have already started, even before today's deadline. Still, not all robocalls will just go away. The FCC commissioner has said scammers are coming up with new ways to make illegal robocalls all the time. So it's important to keep your guard up. A company focused on blocking spam calls says Americans have received more than 22 billion robocalls so far this year. Another report found Americans last year lost nearly $30 billion to phone scams. Diabetes patients will soon be able to get treatments from Walmart. The retailer announced it'll start selling its own brand of insulin. Shoppers with prescriptions can pick it up from Walmart pharmacies beginning this week, and it'll be available at Sam's Club pharmacies next month. Walmart says its insulin brand will cost up to 75% less than other products. This is significant because prices for diabetes medications have risen dramatically over the last decade. The Healthcare Cost Institute says the price of an insulin prescription nearly doubled between 2012 and 2016. And the American Diabetes Association says a typical patient pays nearly $10,000 a year in medical costs. More than 34 million Americans have diabetes, and the CDC says the number of people diagnosed has more than doubled in the last 20 years. Facebook now has a new newsletter business. The social media company launched a subscription service called Bulletin this week. On Bulletin, writers can charge readers a fee for access to their digital content. Facebook recruited a few celebrities to get things started, like sportscaster Aaron Andrews, author Malcolm Gladwell, and more. It's unclear when it will open up the platform to everyone else. But for now, Facebook also says it won't take any money from creators. The writers will keep all of the revenue they earn from subscriptions. Newsletters have been a growing trend for a while now. 4 years ago, the startup Substack launched, featuring more famous writers, and now it has more than 250,000 subscribers. Twitter also bought a newsletter service called Review earlier this year. And of course, we here at The Newsworthy have a free weekly newsletter as well. It provides a fun recap of the week's news, plus company happenings, listener features, and more each Friday. You can sign up at thenewsworthy.com/email. It was a heartbreaking exit for an American tennis star. Serena Williams hurt her right leg during her very first match at Wimbledon. She was up 3-1 when she slipped on wet grass behind the baseline and got up limping. Williams tried to keep playing, but the pain was too much, so she had to forfeit the tournament. Williams had been hoping to win one more major and tie the record for the most Grand Slams ever won by a woman. For now, it looks like that record will have to wait. However, her older sister Venus is still in it, after winning her first round match. It was Venus's first singles win at Wimbledon in 3 years. For the first time in history, a transgender woman will compete at the Miss USA pageant. Cataluna Enriquez earned her ticket to the national competition when she was crowned Miss Nevada over the weekend. Enriquez wrote on Instagram that the entire LGBTQ community could share in her success. And she ended her post by writing, "Happy Pride." The Las Vegas Review-Journal reports Enriquez started competing in transgender pageants about 5 years ago while she was working as a model. She switched to the bigger mainstream pageants last year. The Miss USA pageant is scheduled for November. If Enriquez wins, she would go on to Miss Universe. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story. But first, here's Erica again with a word from our sponsor, Noom.
If you ever feel lost with all the different information and misconceptions out there about health and habits, Noom works to simplify things and help you turn your personal health goals and aspirations into reality. And not just for the month. Noom uses psychology and education to help you stick with it in the long term. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach is meant to help you build habits without an unrealistic, rigorous plan or unforgiving lifestyle. You set your goals and Noom helps you get there. And Noom knows you're busy and doesn't expect to dominate your life. It expects just 10 minutes a day of your time. And there's no bad food. It's more about understanding cravings, helping you eat and feel better, and knowing how to shop. There's also easy food logging and a way to chart your progress for your own healthier habits. You can sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, sign up for your trial at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Noom wants you to know there's a science to getting healthier. So go to Noom.com/newsworthy.
Now back to Work Wednesday. If you've recently returned to the office after working from home for a while, you might have noticed business fashion has changed. As NBC News reports, workers are in no rush to return to more formal clothing like pencil skirts, heels, suit pants, or ties. Instead, they have been more interested in looser fitting options, as well as softer and more stretchy fabrics. Retailers have noticed a change in shopping trends too, and they're adapting to meet the demand. For example, Dockers says it's adding more stretch to its classic chinos. And Brooks Brothers is focusing more on sportswear, sweaters, and knits rather than the classic suits it's known for. But there have been even more fashion changes, not just in the name of comfort. Retailers say shoppers are also showing a preference for brighter colors instead of the traditional all-black look. Some businesses, like Morgan Stanley, are formally changing their dress codes. Others are just adapting to more flexible, unspoken rules. Either way, it seems even though most people are ditching the sweatpants and slippers, they've found ways to look stylish and stay comfortable and bright in the office. Thank you for listening today. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.